Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Clever Girls Know podcast. This is Bola Shokumbi. I'm the founder and CEO of Clever Girl Finance. The Clever Girls Know podcast is a podcast for women offering a space for conversations around personal finance, business, life, and living. I'd love for you to subscribe to this podcast, and you can do that everywhere you listen to your podcast episodes. And if you love what you listen to, head on over to iTunes and leave a review so that other amazing women just like you can find this podcast as well. I'd also love for you to stop by clevergirlfinance.com. We have new content on the blog multiple times a week. We have over 30 plus free courses. Plus, when you sign up for a course, you can talk to a Clever Girl Finance mentor for free to get encouragement, motivation, or if you just want to have an open, no shame, no judgment girl talk. Finally, check out our YouTube channel. Just search Clever Girl Finance on YouTube. And if you don't already follow us on Instagram, you can find us at Clever Girl Finance. Okay, so let's get into today's episode. Hi, Steph.
Hi, Bola. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Wonderful.
Well, welcome to the Clever Girls Know podcast. I am so excited to have this conversation with you. You're going to be sharing with us how you use intentional goal setting to achieve your financial goals. I know that you're a listener of the podcast and your story has just been very incredible. So before we dive in, tell everyone who you are and what you do.
Sure, thanks. So yes, I'm Steph May and I'm actually based on Wurundjeri country in Naam, which is Melbourne, Australia. And I'm a mother of two beautiful girls, Mina, who's 6, Tara, who's 17. I've been working for about 20 years with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, and I absolutely love my work and my current role. And I am of English heritage, so a few generations have lived in Australia, and also a few, basically every generation of my family have also been migrants. And yeah. I've been listening to your fabulous work for a couple of years now.
That is so exciting. And I was really excited, honored. I was humbled to see your email regarding just your journey. And I'm just really happy to have you as a guest on the podcast to share your story, especially as a listener. Every now and then I'm honored to have a listener as a guest on the podcast, not an expert or anything like that. And it's just really nice to be able to hear people who listen to the podcast. So thank you for being here. So I'd love for you to share your journey. What was the journey that led you to Clever Girl Finance 3 years ago now? And what were some of your goals or challenges related to financial literacy? Why were you looking for resources?
And I'd also have to say it's an absolute honor for me to get to speak to you today. And I was really surprised when I did get a response to my email, because I was just coming from a place of immense gratitude for you and your team and the work you do. So it's really exciting to be able to have a chat. And also it was a little bit scary to come. So I hope that how I'm using your fabulous contributions is helpful to other people. So basically, in relation to when I came across Clever Girl Finance, I remember it was a conversation with workmates at the time, and we were kind of lamenting how challenging it was for people to buy a home and how it just felt like an uphill battle. And I had known about a few different kind of organisations doing financial literacy work in Australia, and I'd seen and participated in like a couple of one-off programs, but I didn't know of anything at the time that was more kind of supportive throughout, you know, our journey of financial literacy. And so I just kind of Googled whether there was anything out there. I was just having a look, and I read an article and it mentioned Clever Girl Finance. So I looked you up and haven't looked back, have been using the podcasts as inspiration, the YouTube clips, and also read 2 of your books so far. Oh. Yeah, which is, you know, amazing. Really, I think for me it was my intentions at the time were, I suppose, to continue to build my own understanding of how to manage my finances. So in relation to my initial goals, I don't think I had this as a goal, but it really struck me the need to have an emergency fund. And I think over the years, I had had financial advice from our retirement fund, superannuation fund, or the one I was joined up with in Australia. And certainly at the time they had said, yes, you need an emergency fund, but I just kind of hadn't really, I'd glazed over that information. I'd never really taken it in. So I don't, there were some things that I think I didn't even really realise, but I think after reading your books and listening to the material, it really struck me how important my emergency fund was going to be. Later on, I ended up deciding to separate from my then partner. So I also had real concerns around my finances and whether I was financially able to leave, but I had built a savings habit, I suppose, and was able to then make a decision to move on. And part of that was also I decided to stay. We lived together still for 6 months whilst I continued to save. And I had some other goals in mind around my kids and my eldest daughter and an experience I wanted her to have on a school exchange. And I realised that I needed to, I suppose, in some ways it's really decide what my important values were and keep those in mind when I'm, you know, looking at the various things in life that come up that you need to manage. But I also had some really important goals around my kids that I wanted to achieve.
Mm-hmm. So was it the conversation at work that was like your aha moment, or had you been thinking about improving your finances for a while up to that point?
I think I had been thinking about it for a while. Like I think it's always been an interest for me around understanding more about finances, and that also does, I think, come back to seeing my family's experience not having a lot of money and really a mindset that has been about a little bit about scarcity and fear of money and distrust. So I was kind of aware of that. And I think, you know, actually my conversation with my friend was actually that I could see for her situation how tools are really important, tools and support networks and things like that. So important, and there just seemed to be a real absence of that in Australia at the time when I was looking. Yeah.
Wow. You know, one thing that I just wanted to highlight that you mentioned was that you were in a relationship and you wanted to exit it, and one of the things that you did was save money. I've had several conversations with, you know, just different people, and even done episodes on this podcast about navigating leaving a relationship when you don't have any money. And I'm so glad that you were able to put that savings aside. And, you know, even though you had to still live together for 6 months, but you were able to get on your own feet after the relationship. And I can't stress how important it is for women, regardless of your relationship status, just having backup money, having that emergency fund that you saved, having just a fund that you can fall back on in the event that you need to. So you did a few things based on your, I guess, your testimonial from your email. Mm-hmm. Not only did you save your emergency fund, you had hit your goal on the day that you emailed us, and you paid for your car outright, completely. And you also got a new role as director in your company that came with a big increase. And so it's really inspiring to hear about these significant accomplishments that you've achieved, you know, so amazing. What were some of the mindset shifts that you had to go through that helped you accomplish those goals of buying the car outright, saving your emergency fund, getting that job with a bigger pay increase? What were you thinking? How were you adjusting your mindset?
Well, I think with the car, about 3 months after I moved out and into a rental property, the car I had at the time, I took it to get serviced and it needed thousands and thousands of dollars of work. And I was trying to build my emergency fund, or I was building it at the time, and I was just, oh my gosh, this car is going to cost me so much money. And the mechanic said, it's going to continue to cost you so much money because of the make of the car and how many miles it's done and things like that. And I just thought, oh gosh, I saw that was really going to take me back in my planning and what I was trying to achieve. At the time, my daughter had just turned 16, and which meant that she had just applied and gotten her learner's permit to learn how to drive. So it was also very important to her at the time to be able to learn to drive and have a car. But I kind of sat back and I looked at what am I trying to achieve here and what will it mean if I fork out this money now with a car that's actually not going to go the distance anyway. And so I actually decided to give up my car and not have a car and say save instead. And it's not a huge, I don't think it's not like a massive thing, but where we live in the outer suburbs of Melbourne, there is a really strong car culture. So everyone has cars, everyone drives everywhere. So, you know, and I opted to take public transport, take the bus, and also use a car sharing service on the weekend. My daughter was mortified and so embarrassed. If we hopped on the bus, she pretended she didn't know me and she sat on a different seat. So
this is a teenager, right? I'm assuming.
It's a teenager, I know. And I also think the mindset shift was really around thinking what I'm trying to give to my kids and make them happy. And then also realizing, look, I actually have to put my own objectives first here. And I know that my kids, she won't be happy in the short term, but in the long term, it's for the best. So I basically just saved my money and bought, when I was ready, bought a used car that we're really happy with. And she's got to get up 120 hours to be able to then sit for her full license. And we're well on track. So it's all worked out in the end.
That's great. And I think that was a good lesson for her. I mean, as she gets older, she will be able to reflect back on it, whether or not she was embarrassed that you had to take the bus. But guess what? It showed her that mommy had to do what was required for us to be able to do this next thing, which was get a really good car. So even though she was embarrassed, it's not lost on her.
No. Yeah. Good lesson. Yeah. For both of us, I think, because it's so strange to not have a car as well. Of course. people don't, but but with the director role as well, Bola, it's really interesting because I'd moved sideways in my career, I think, for over 10 years. You know, sideways roles that were wonderful, really interesting, really meaningful, but I had come to a point where I think I was definitely holding myself back from putting myself out there for higher level roles. And part of that was most definitely fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of not being good enough and things like that. And I'd had a few people say to me, oh, are you going to go for this role or you'd be great in that? But I kind of couldn't see it. I could see it, but I just didn't think that it was meant for me, I suppose, like a more leadership role. And then over time, I had moved to a new organisation after my separation and loved the organisation, loved the teams. And there was some opportunities coming up. And it really was the goal setting that I did with Clever Girl Finance with you at the end of 2022, start of 2023. And I specifically wrote down that I wanted to win, and I wrote down a number of other things, but I kind of committed to it and made the decision when the roles came up that I would apply for one. And again, it was overcoming a lot of fear around, oh, what are they going to think? Fear of rejection, I guess. But I said to myself, look, my aim here, it's actually not important what the outcome is, but my aim is that I see myself as potential for this role and also that the organisation sees me as potential for this role. So I prepared really well for that, for the application. I got an interview, prepared for the interview, and came out of the interview just feeling so triumphant that I had done my best. So I was super pleased with myself for preparing, for having a go and putting myself out there. So I didn't get the job at the time, and that was absolutely fine. I wasn't particularly disappointed because I was so happy that I went for it. And so stayed with the organisation, which I really love. And then 6 to 8 months down the track, I received a call saying that one of the directors was leaving and would I be interested to apply for the role? And I submitted expression of interest internally and ended up being appointed to the role. And it was also after an opportunity when I was able to act up into a director position. So I think in the past, when opportunities may have come up like this, I potentially haven't seen them, or have thought, oh no, there's someone more worthier than me for these opportunities. But as a result of that, of the goal setting and being really clear about what I wanted to do, and just taking just a couple of steps, I think helped me to put myself in a position to take that opportunity on when it came up.
Mm-hmm. So we do that goal setting call every year, and it's something that I love to do. I'm always very excited about it. And it's just interesting on the others to see now the other side of it, because you wrote down what your goals were, your job, et cetera. And just to hear that that was something that was part of, or one of your catalysts that helped you be intentional, because you did the work. I didn't do the work. You did the work. I just reminded mm-hmm. you that you were able. And it's just really cool to see. So congrats on everything you have been able to achieve. And this is you just getting started, right? This was you watching that annual session. And we leave, for those of you who are interested, we leave that goal setting session up for the whole year until we do the next one. So the last one is still on our YouTube channel, and it's called Goal Setting Session. You can find it very easily. It's just very interesting to see. And I just love knowing that that session is impactful, even if it's just to one person. So one of the things that you mentioned also is that you're a single parent. You have two beautiful daughters. And one thing that's really important to you is that you want to become a role model for them. So as you are taking this journey to financial empowerment, financial wellness, how are you teaching your daughters about money and financial independence?
So something that I'm intentionally doing is sharing information with them as I'm learning. And that's why I talk to them about my financial goals and my budgets, and also some of the things I'm learning about investing, and the big one obviously more than the younger one, or in different ways. So I think that was something that was missing when I was a kid, because my parents didn't have that knowledge to kind of share. Or so I'm really intentional around having conversations about money in the home. I do want to show them that it's within their capacity, and it's also their responsibility to look after themselves financially. And it doesn't actually matter how much money you've got, but it's also how you use your money, and that's important. I would actually love to do more in this space, Bola, and I've looked at some of the articles that you guys have written about teaching kids about money. So I think there's more for me to do in that space. It's a learning journey, and I do hope that by doing making the effort that I am making, that they see that, and that's part of their life education.
I love that. And we also have that free course on teaching your kids about money. And it was created in conjunction with an incredible financial educator who focuses on teaching kids financial. So maybe you might find that helpful, but you are taking the right approach. You know, my kids are younger than yours, at least younger than your teenager. And I feel like I'm still in that process of teaching my kids, right? And I'm learning different approaches every day. And I love the fact that you are intentional about sharing your goals with your kids, because I think sometimes when people are on a financial journey, whether you are paying off debt or saving money, or you're in process, you're in progress, they don't share it with their kids, because they feel like, well, I haven't achieved it. I don't know all the answers. I haven't figured out all the solutions. But that journey in itself is important to bring your child along with, even if you don't expose them to everything, but just making them aware. Because the way life works is that your child is going to get to a point in their own life, in their own adulthood, where they may go through a similar journey of working in progress to achieve a certain financial goal, right? So just showing them that it is possible, that it is a journey and not an instant arrival at the destination, is so helpful when it comes to helping them build patience and understanding and adjusting their mindset in terms of things sometimes can take time to achieve, but it's worth putting in the effort. So I love that you're doing that. And for me, I try to do that with my kids as well. I involve them in what I'm doing. I definitely take them with me grocery shopping. I challenge them to fit what we want to buy into the budget that we have. I remind them about, you know, let's, grandma gave you some money, you should save this portion of it. And then how are you going to spend the rest of it? Let's plan it out. Or what do you want to save your money to buy in the future? future. And then we talk about investing and stocks and why do you want to buy this stock? What interests you about it? And I try to explain to them on a kid's level, you know, sometimes it goes over their head because even though I'm a financial expert, financial educator, I'm not a childhood. I don't have any degrees in childhood education. So I'm trying. And that sort of reminds me, so my dad is a mathematician. He has multiple PhDs. And I remember when I used to ask my dad, this is just a sidebar. I used to ask him for help with homework and then I stopped because I would go to my dad and ask him for help with 1 + 1. And he would tell me why 1 was 1, why plus was plus, why the other one was the 1, why the equals is the equals, why 1 + 1 = 2, what 2 really means. And I'm like, oh, God. So I'm trying not to be like that with my own kids. But I think you are doing such a fantastic job.
Yeah. My big girl is also saving for her gap year next year. Yeah. So that's been great to see. She's working, she's saving, and, you know, so she's putting a lot of money aside. And I also hear her talk about her friends are all saving, seem to be all saving to buy a car. But she's saying to me, Mum, I don't want to do that. I want to save and travel next year. So I'm really proud of that too, because she's working out what's really important to her and working towards that goal rather than going along with what all her friends are doing. So it's a good thing.
That's really good that she has her own mind about what she wants to do with her money. And for those of you listening, a gap year, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Steph, is very common in the UK and Australia. It's that year between high school and college where kids take time off to either work or travel. Is that right?
That's right. A lot. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Very, very cool. So that lesson of selling your car and not getting a new one until you had saved for the one you wanted, it's paying off. So you mentioned that you found a lot of value in that goal setting session, especially the one from last year. Can you share a bit more about goal setting? How are you doing it? How has it impacted the way you're planning towards your future financial stability and your future financial success?
So, yeah, that's also why I wrote to you. I found that the session so, so helpful. And I'm so grateful for you for putting that out there. And it's publicly available. It's amazing. And I've done this one as well. So I've got my goals for this year all set, and it's kind of around. So when I say set, got about 5 or 6 goals written down. I stick it up in the back of my wardrobe. It's a lot around consolidating my goals from last year. So continuing to build my emergency fund, confirming the role I'm in as an ongoing role, which has happened now, which is awesome. And a few others, building my superannuation, my retirement fund as well. I've also got like my longer term goals around owning my own home, being mortgage free, having a certain amount at retirement. So I'm working back from there. Mm-hmm. I do find the visual aids really helpful. So on the back of my wardrobe, when I'm saving and growing my emergency fund or different savings, I'll color it in when I reach a little milestone along the way. I do some of the personal rewards as well, like when I reached a goal milestone, rewarding myself for that. So, yeah, I think that's, and I think like listening to the Clever Girl Finance material also keeps me fresh with some of these things. It keeps it in my mind. So it's not kind of a set forget, but it's a constant reminder and inspiration and support to keep me going.
I love it. And I love the idea of your like vision board in the back of your closet. You know, the reason why we started doing that goal setting is because that's how I operate. I'm a very goal-oriented person. Not everybody operates this way, and there's no right or wrong way about how you pursue what you want to achieve. The bottom line is consistency and taking action, really. But I'm very goal-oriented, and I like to plan it out and take my time and write it out and say, okay, this is what I want my year to look like. This is what I want my month to look like. And for anyone listening, goal setting is not January 1st only. It's any time. It can be the beginning of a new day, the beginning of a new weekend, new month, whenever you're just ready to set intentions and set goals to do things differently to achieve what you want to accomplish is when you can do goal setting. And I'm glad that you are able to do that and make it visual. Right? That's an approach that works for you. And it's funny because when I used to start setting goals when I first started setting my goals, I was a listicle person. I would just write the lists and then check it off or cross it out or X out what I did not complete. And I feel like lately I've become more of a visual person. So I have an iPhone, and there's a free app that comes with the iPhones now called Freeform. And I use that to create a vision board, a visual vision board, which I used to do way back when I used to buy magazines, but you know, people don't buy as many magazines anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't, at least. So I use Freeform now, and I get pictures from Pinterest and the internet, and I created this visual digital vision board. And it's very exciting. Another thing that I've done similar to you is you said you have the charts you color in. So I was listening to something, I think it was something on YouTube, and the person was talking about, wasn't finance related, but was a goal they wanted to achieve. And they had created their own, it was a journaling YouTube channel. And they had created, I can't tell you who it was because I don't remember, but they had created a chart where they colored off what they were achieving in their career or something like that. And I was like, oh, I can do that. So I just recently created my own like chart to color in my goals. And I love that visual. I'm really enjoying that. And it's just a way to kind of gamify having the visuals, having the charts to gamify achieving your goals and keep you motivated. It sounds small, but it actually works, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely.
So that's so good. So when you think about the last 3 years, since you really got focused on your financial journey, getting yourself on your own 2 feet after relationship, getting your car, starting to save, getting a new job, planning the next few years, planning your retirement, what advice or insights would you offer to the women listening, especially those in similar circumstances? So let's say, you know, there's someone listening who they want to exit a relationship, but they don't quite have the cash, or they just realize that, I need to make change in my finances now. I need to start saving. I need to start putting aside emergency fund. I'm a single mom. From your perspective, as you have progressed with achieving your goals the last 3 years, what advice would you give anyone who has been or who is currently in a similar circumstance to you that wants to take control of their finances and achieve their goals like you're doing?
Yeah, I would say you can absolutely do it if you're clear on what you want. Small baby steps may seem insignificant, but they will get you there. And for me, having patience is also really important. And sometimes I can lose motivation, but just taking little steps and also surrounding yourself, it might be via Clever Girl Finance or something similar if you don't have a community of people within your own face-to-face network, is really important. It's been important to me. But I also think once you take a few steps, what I found is kind of the universe has supported me opportunities have come up. And because I've been really clear about where I want to get to, I've been able to see them as opportunities and grab them. So there will be people and things that help along the way. Mm-hmm. But you can absolutely do it, and you deserve it, and you'll get there.
Yeah, I love that. And you said because you've been intentional about what you want to achieve, the opportunities have presented themselves to you. And I'm a firm believer in that. I believe that when you set the intention, because you're focused on that goal, you see the opportunities when they arise, no matter how small they are. And I believe this is possible for everybody. And I'm talking from personal experience and just what I've seen with other people, other women, because everybody has opportunity in front of them. It might be small, it might be tiny, but it's there. And sometimes we miss it. We miss those opportunities as they come by us, right? Because opportunities do pass people by. They come by you, you don't grab onto it, it moves on to the next thing, next person. We miss them because we're not focused on it. So we don't see the opportunity. We may have been staring at the opportunity as it was coming by, but because we were not focused on what it was we wanted to achieve, we didn't even realize that was an opportunity for us. Yeah. So if you're listening to this, I challenge you to set your goals and set intention around those goals, and you'll start to be aware of opportunities. And it could be little things, it could be small things, but those opportunities add up, and they get bigger the more focused you are and as you make progress. And I see this happen with me all the time. You know, I may not be thinking about doing something and an opportunity will come by me, and I will not recognize it until I think about it in retrospect when I am focused on doing that thing. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, that is actually something I could have done that could have helped me make progress on this goal. But I wasn't focused on the goal at the time, so I didn't realize that was an opportunity for me. You know what I'm saying? So I love what you said.
Yeah. I found as well, Bola, with the director's role, I had clearly written that down, that that's what I wanted to achieve. Mm-hmm. And before I got the role, I was asked if I'd like to act in the higher position. Mm-hmm. And my historical response would have been, oh, but there's other people, you know, what about so-and-so and what about so-and-so? And I realized that's absolutely like kind of self-sabotaging behavior here. So I said, and I did actually still say that, but I said, yes, I'd love to. That was my immediate response, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is an opportunity to reach my goal. I'd love to. And I did also say, it'd be great. There's other people as well that I think would be fabulous.
But you saw yourself in it, even though they had not offered it to you as a permanent position, because it could have been easy for you to say, you know what, this is not permanent, so guess what, I'm not going to do it. And you were just not focused, that you may have just not been focused on getting the job at the time, right? So you're like, it's permanent, so other people can do it. Or you may have been thinking about the path as to which you're going to get that job differently, that they would come and offer you a permanent position, not a trial, not a stand-in type of thing. And that's another thing, is that sometimes when you're pursuing a goal, it may not go, you may not achieve it according to the plan that you have set. So you also have to be open to the opportunities and the options that are presented to you, right? Because there's also things that I've wanted to do, and I lay a plan of step one exactly, step two exactly, step three exactly, and I think I know it all. And then life happens, because that's what life does. And my plan is nothing, but sometimes I'm still able to achieve that goal because I was open to the option. I guess bottom line is that we just need to be open to the options in which the opportunities present themselves. Because it's one thing for the opportunity to present itself. That's one. We need to be aware and intentional. And then we also need to be aware that the opportunity that presents itself may not always be exactly according to how we want it, but it may be in an option that will still make achieving your goal possible. So yes, I love that you stepped out of your comfort zone. Like, I'm going to stand in as a temp for this position. And then you actually did get the position. Which is fantastic. You mentioned something earlier on. It slipped my mind to ask you, superannuation, is that what it's called in Australia? What is that for those?
It's retirement savings.
Okay.
So, okay.
And that's what I thought, because you did say retirement savings as soon as you said that.
Yeah. We have a good situation here in that our employers contribute, I think it's 1% of our salary, and some organizations, I'm really fortunate that my organization actually contributes more than that. Wow. And then you can top it up with your own contributions too.
Yeah. So in the US, we have the 401k or a similar 457. And then there's other different vehicles like the IRA, et cetera. And there is matching for some 401ks, but I think a lot of times it's left to the discretion of the employer. There's no mandate. So some may not do any matching. Some may do a small percentage. Some may do a large percentage. So I've had in my various jobs, all kinds of matching. I've had matching up to 10% before, 50% if you contribute up to 6%. There's so many variations. But the bottom line is, take the free money when it's offered to you. Yes. So looking ahead, we are kind of like a quarter into 2024 now at the time of this recording. I know you said you're focusing on owning your home outright, expanding your emergency savings. How are you planning to continue or to stay focused, stay motivated on building on top of the progress that you've made so far? Because you're early in your journey. 3 years seems like a long time, but it's not like it went by quickly, right? And you've already accomplished so much. So how do you plan to stay focused the rest of the year, the next 3 years?
I think it's still to ensure that I'm surrounding myself with great information, a community of people. So it's listening, continuing to listen to your podcast, Bola, and read the books, and, you know, look at all the other materials. So I've found some other people here in Australia too that I'm getting value from listening to. I also, something that I'm really mindful of at the moment is I'm obviously consolidating some of the goals I set for last year, but it's also, for me, I'm really mindful of looking after my self-care and my well-being. So definitely the new role is more demanding, and I love it, but I'm also probably more stressed with this, with the opportunities that come. So part of, I think, what I need to learn to do and want to be really intentional about is looking after myself so that I can be the best I can be in the role and still be present for my kids at home and have the energy to spend time with them. So I think that that's a goal in itself as well, is ensuring that I'm looking after myself. But I also think that's a strategy to help me keep achieving and growing my career and things like that, is actually ensuring I have a foundation of health and well-being to support me underneath it all.
That's so key, because there is a saying that if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. There's no amount of money that can do much if you are not in a good state of mind, if your health is not in check. I mean, it can help you buy medicines, it can help you see the best doctors, but, you know, like, if your health is declining, money is not, like, you have to take care of yourself. Health, once you're well, you can do anything. You can do all the work, you can do all the planning, you can take all the actions, you're in the position to do it, right? You know, so that's, self-care is so, so, so important. And there's actually someone in Australia I love. Have you heard of Sugar Mama? Kanna Campbell.
Oh,
I love her. No, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard of her name, but I don't know her.
Okay. So she's from Australia. She's a personal finance expert. She does a lot of television. Before I started my business, I used to watch her on YouTube. She's been a guest on this podcast a few years
ago. Wow.
She's fantastic. And she has a book called The $1,000 Project. And Kanna talks about how there's a period of time every year where she just focuses on $1,000 project. And essentially she figures out how to save bundles of $1,000. So her goal is just save $1,000, get to that first thousand, and then what's going to be my next $1,000 project. And that way she's able to accumulate a large amount of savings. That is an incredible person. You should check her out. She's a certified financial planner in Australia. And I just had to shout her out.
Yay.
Because she's okay, where you thanks. At. She's awesome.
Okay. Thank you. I'll look into it.
Yes, I always love to share, but I still have a couple more questions for you. I ask everybody who comes on the podcast about their clever girl superpower. So, Steph, you have to tell me what yours is.
Yeah, I think adding up my grocery bill or estimating what it will be at the checkout, I'm really good at that. And it's also about being a bit of a chameleon and able to shift and see possibilities in new circumstances.
I love that, right? You're able to pivot and adapt. That's yeah. Like, listen, in the life, in this world, being able to pivot and adapt is a necessary skill. If you don't have it, you got to learn it. I've had to learn it. You cannot stay in the same position. Sometimes you got to shift a little bit in order to keep moving forward. That's just life. And I love that. Regarding the grocery bill, I need help. Listen, I've been trying, though. I do not go to the grocery store in person anymore, because that's just terrible. Now I shop online with my fixed list. I get my fixed delivery. There's no aisles to distract me. There's no nonsense at the checkout. I'm not testing any new trial products because I can't see them. So good on you for being able to estimate your grocery bill. I'm always off when I go in person anyway. And then finally, I know you mentioned that you have a LinkedIn. So please tell us how folks can, where they can find you on LinkedIn, and then we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Yep, sure. So it's just Stephanie May on LinkedIn, but there's probably a few around the world. So I'll share my LinkedIn.
Yeah, we'll have that in the show notes. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on, for emailing to share your story. I'm so glad to have you on here. Thank you for being a part of the Clever Girl Finance community. I'm so glad and honored that our content has been able to support you. Like I mentioned, I'm just always so happy when we get emails like that. I love to have listeners, our Clever Girl community members on the podcast. So if you're listening to this and you have a success story, come on and share it with other people and inspire them. Steph, I know what you have shared is going to inspire other women listening. And I'm excited for your future. You have a bright future ahead of you and you're doing all the right steps. So just keep going.
Thank you.
Everything will work.
Yes. I really appreciate you, Bola, and your team. Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode, and I hope you enjoyed it.
If you've loved the episode, but you don't yet subscribe to the podcast, you can do that everywhere you listen to your podcast episodes. And head on over to iTunes and leave a review so other amazing women just like you can find this podcast as well. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll talk to you on the next episode.